Let us pray. Gracious Father above, thank you because you are faithful to us. You have given us everything we could ever need or desire. And in Christ, you have given us salvation. And today, your children are hungry. We need a word from above, a word that will prepare us, not just for today, but to meet the Savior in glory. Send us your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We have started a journey with our friend Abraham. In fact, we started this 2 weeks ago, and so we continue today. But just as a word of review, because repetition is very educative, not sure if my USB is plugged in. 1 second, it's coming. We have seen different steps of faith that are a blessing to us as we want to grow in our faith. Still not moving. Technology is a thing of beauty. Well, we'll just click it from behind. This is what we started taking a look at 2 weeks ago, and it was refreshed in our minds last week. There we go. Step number one, faith is hearing God. How so? In His Word is how we hear God. Step number two is what? Trust His promises. He has made us so many promises, and His promises are true. Step number three is being humble enough to what? To do what God has said, or else I'm just doing what I want to do. When I do what I want to do, usually bad things come about, regardless of whether or not we understand or think we know better. Step number four, worship God at home and everywhere we go. And then step number five, isn't time to take a vacation and think that, oh, I can do what I think is best. But actually, step number five is faith doesn't stop. We go back to step number one. As we saw last, we finished Genesis chapter 12. And do you remember what happened in Genesis chapter 12, the latter part? Oh, that's right. That's where there's a huge famine. Abraham has the novel idea to go down into Egypt. That's like the place that God did not tell him to go to. And he goes there and he realizes that his wife is, well, he doesn't realize, he's cognizant of the fact that his wife is very, very pretty. And to make sure that he gets out alive, he tells his wife to say, oh, we're just siblings. We're brother and sister. Pharaoh and the Egyptians are then plagued because of Abraham's deceit. And Pharaoh tells Abraham, get out of here. Go back home. I don't want to see you around here. And so that's where we end chapter 12. And if you've read chapter 13, you might be thinking, how could anything be preached about from chapter 13? Well, you put a mic in front of a pastor and he will think of something to preach about. The pastor will preach about the windows, about the mountains, about the flowers, about the stones, about the clouds, because all these point us to something about God. Abraham gets to embrace his wife. And if we just finished getting through chapter 12, we realize that's no small feat because Sarah was about to become another man's wife. That's what was about to happen. Genesis 13, verse 1, the Bible tells us, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and who else? And his wife, that's like a very good thing. And all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Abraham not only leaves Egypt, which is a very good thing, but he leaves Egypt accompanied with his wife, because not that long ago, he didn't have his wife. and Lot goes with him, because Lot has a sense of trust with this Uncle Abraham, in that, you know, God's leading Abraham. I want to follow him because he's with God, and that's like a good place to be. My question is, why would Abraham leave Egypt? Is it that there was a whole bunch of food in Canaan now? Why would Abraham leave Egypt? Well, Abraham leaves Egypt for two simple reasons. Number one, if he doesn't leave, he'll get killed in Egypt. Why? Because if you lie to the king, I don't think that would go too good. And second, God hadn't given up on Abraham. Isn't that good news? I mean, Abraham goes where God doesn't want him to go. He basically leaves his wife and says, you know, you need to say we're not husband and wife, we're siblings, and I'll keep on living, and I'll pray for you, and hopefully it goes good. It just goes south from there. But Abraham had good plans that God had for his life. And you see, Abraham had to leave Egypt. You know why? Because Egypt never leaves. Egypt doesn't have feet. We must leave Egypt. Isn't that the way it is with sin? It's not like the sin is all of a sudden going to leave us. We must leave the sin. Why do we leave Egypt? Because we'll get killed in Egypt, and God hasn't given up on us. I don't care what you went through this past week. I don't know. I don't care what sin you committed. God hasn't given up on you. He's just started. Because Abraham's journey had just started. God still knows the plans that he has for you. And here's the good news, friends. God's promises don't have expiration dates. They're still good. Just because the Bible was written in antiquity doesn't mean that God's promises are done or there's none for you. Do you believe this? You see, our faith in God is the foundation of our marriages. We get distant from God, and one of those check engine lights that come on in our lives shows up in our marriages. We get distant from God, and that other check engine light in our lives is, oh, things go hard with our families. Now we're at each other's throats. And we get distant from God, and our church pulls different directions. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? You see, we think that our faith can suffer and our lives can continue unscathed. We think we can go on without our day and not spend time with God and think that everything's going to be all right. We think it's not going to affect my marriage. We think it's not going to affect our family. We think it's not going to affect our church. We think it's not going to affect our community. But hello, it does. Genesis 13, verse 2, the Bible says, and Abram was very rich, bless you, in cattle, in silver, and in gold. But Abraham had just done what? He had just basically turned his back on God. And the Bible says that he's blessed. Wow. God still blesses Abraham. Has God still blessed you today? Yes, he has. Anybody here not have a great week in their walk with God? And God is still blessing us. Praise the Lord. He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And praise God he does, because maybe this was an unjust week, or maybe it was a just week. I don't know. Only God knows that. Verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at where? At the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham did what? Called on the name of the Lord." Why would Abraham do that? Why would Abraham call on God? Well, reason number one is because Abraham's just been forgiven. I mean, if you've been forgiven and if I've been forgiven of our sins, wouldn't we want to talk to God and call on his name? I think so. Why would Abraham want to talk to God? Oh, that's right, because he just got his wife back. Why would Abraham want to talk to God? Because he receives more blessings that he doesn't deserve. And that brings Abraham to his knees and he worships God. What a testament. My question is, what leads you to worship God? Has God not forgiven us? Is God working on our families and marriages? I pray so. He's working on mine. Hallelujah. We need a whole lot of work. Has God blessed us even though we don't deserve it? I know I don't deserve it. You see, that's the goodness of God leading us unto him. You see, the truth is, just because we're in God's house of worship doesn't mean we're worshiping God. Anybody can come here to church. But whether or not we're here with a heart ready to worship God because of God's goodness, that's a different story. It could be our faith might need to come back to one. What is one? Starting over with Jesus. That is one. Calling on the name of the Lord. If you've heard God, wouldn't it be natural to share what you have in your heart with him? I mean, I could stop preaching right now, and I have a hunch if we had an open mic to tell of God's goodness, I know we'd be late for our fellowship lunch. Why? Because God has been good. And we get to testify of his goodness. Genesis 13, verses 5 to 7, the Bible says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land." Interesting. You know, there's a saying that says, if you want to be smart, hang out with smart people and do what smart people do. If you want to be financially responsible, hang around people who use money well and do what they do. Could that apply also to the spiritual realm? If we want to get closer to God, where should we be? Should it not be with people who also want to get closer to God? I think so. And do what people who are close to God do. You see, they too were blessed. Not just blessed, but they were too blessed. They were so blessed that Abraham and Lot had to go different directions because there wasn't enough room for them to be together. And strife breaks out between the herdsmen. But what's interesting about the strife isn't necessarily that there's just strife. But the greater issue is this. Non-believers are watching the drama. How do we know that? The Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Isn't it great that we always get along together at church? Oh, you mean we don't? And guess what? Whether we do or not, God will sort that out. Because God is good. But there's people who are watching. Those who are without, they see what's going on within. What an opportunity to seek reconciliation. Genesis 13, 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thy herdmen, for we be what? We're brothers. We're brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Who's talking here? Abraham's talking here, which is very interesting because it is the faithful that initiate peace. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that they have to. And soon I'll explain why. And this was kind of a little bit of disrespect, actually, because Lot, who's younger, should have just been willing to say, okay, uncle, where do you want me to go? But no, Abraham is humble enough to say, if you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. Not a big deal. It's not that deep. My question is do we have peace with those around us? Just as Abraham was looking to have peace with his nephew. You see, our faith in God, our connection with God, our relationship with God must lead us to peace with others. It has to. How can we be close to God and not be close to each other? That doesn't make sense. In fact, when I'm not close to my brother and sister in Christ, maybe I'm not that close to God. And when I'm not that close to God, guess what else happens naturally? I'm not that close with those around me. You see, what reason does Abraham have to seek peace with Lot? Oh, that's right. He just made peace with God. Yes, Abraham had some humble pie to eat. How can we be at peace with God and not with man? You see, it's being at peace with God and man. This is part of being faithful. Because how can I be faithful with God and yet not be faithful with the person around me? How can I be cannot have peace with those around me and not have peace with God? Verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." Interesting choice for Lot, if you ask me. And don't worry. Lot says, I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going there. I know what happened there. I'm going to Sodom. That doesn't make sense. You see, in Spanish, we call this the following. He was going from Guatemala to Guatepeor. If you understand Spanish, that's a play on words. It means he was going from bad to worse. And you know, sometimes in our faith journey, we may think we're going from bad to better, when in actuality, we're going from bad to worse. If God is not leading us. You see, Egypt is a little different from Sodom. Because of those two cities, which one went better? Oh, that's right, Egypt. Why? Because Egypt is still there. Sodom and Gomorrah, toast. Why didn't God destroy Egypt? Well, that's right. There were still some righteous folks in their own sphere there. How so? Even Pharaoh did what was right in his sphere. God told Pharaoh, don't you touch that woman. That's a married woman you have with you. What does Pharaoh do? He pumps the brakes. He says, no, I can't do this. God told me I can't proceed with this. She needs to go back to her husband, Mr. Abraham. Bye. That's called righteousness. By faith. You see, it's amazing what selfishness does. Because that was at the core of what Lot wanted. But there's another side of that coin. It's amazing what humility does. Because doesn't the Bible say, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and God will do what? He will lift you up. Let's hear a little bit about Lot. Lot chose Sodom for his home. Why? Because he saw that there were advantages to be gained there from a worldly point of view. But after he had established himself and grown rich in earthly treasure, he was convinced that he had made a mistake in not taking into consideration the moral standing of the community in which he was to make his home. Not just that, dazzled with visions of worldly gain, Lot overlooked the moral and spiritual evils that would be encountered there. The inhabitants of the plain were sinners before the Lord, a little bit, exceedingly, but of this he was ignorant or knowing, gave it but little weight. He chose him all the plain of Jordan and pitched his tent towards Sodom. How little did he foresee the terrible results of that selfish choice. I praise God that we live in the greater Roseburg area. I think it's a nice place considering there's so many ugly places in this world in the sense of where sin and evil corrupts the area. Granted, there's no perfect place on this face of the earth. But when we think of how we're surrounded by the beautiful mountains, the streams, the waterfalls, the valleys, I mean, we have stuff growing, positively wise, we have stuff growing that we don't even have to plant, and it's growing. Praise the Lord. Rather than having building line after building after building after building and crime all over the place. Why was Abraham so willing to allow Lot to choose any land he desired? You want to go this way, you go that way, and I'll go the other way, and vice versa. Why was Abraham so accommodating to the desires of his nephew? Well, the Bible says, Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So whether it was this way or that way, it made no difference to Abraham. Why? Because he was looking for a land that was what? Much, much further north. It doesn't matter what he had or didn't have this side of Jordan. It was okay with Abraham because what he was looking for was better than any ear has heard and any eye has seen. I want that kind of hearing. I want that kind of sight. Genesis 13, verse 12. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. Why? Because God told him to. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Why did Abraham dwell in Canaan? He was faithful to what God had said. He heard what God said. And if you ask me, what step is that in this sequence? Well, that's right. That's number one. He came back to what? He got back up and came back to one. Verse 14 and on, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed how long? Forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. God reminds Abraham of the promises, even after having fallen, even after having rejected God. God is faithful in reminding Abraham, I'm not done with you. Is there a promise you need God to remind you of today? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that still true? You see, Proverbs 24:6 says, for the righteous man may fall 7 times and stay down, rise again. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. Is God done with you? Praise God, he's not done. You want proof of that? You wouldn't be here if God was done. Praise the Lord. My invitation to us today is get back up. Get back up. Genesis 13, 18, the Bible says, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Oh, wow. Abraham goes where God tells him to, which is a great thing to do. And last but not least, he worships God. And when we think about our faith steps, what step was that? Step number 4. He worships God at home. And I know this might sound repetitive, but our faith not only needs to be repetitive, it needs to be constant. And you might be thinking, Pastor, what you say is all fine and dandy, but I wish it was just 7 times. I wish it was just 7 times that I have fallen, that I have messed up, that I have sinned. If Jesus told Peter how many times he should forgive his neighbor, what number was that? 490 times. Are we tempted to think that maybe Peter has more grace for us than God does? God forbid. How much more willing is God to forgive us? I'm not saying we should take God's grace for granted. I'm not saying that we should be presumptuous with what Christ has done to grant us forgiveness. But what I am saying is get back up. You see, faith is making peace with God. Because we could be tempted to think that God doesn't want us anymore. But he does. Faith is making peace with others. Because how can we be at peace with God and not with those around us? And last but not least, faith is keeping our minds on our eternal. During the offertory, hearing one of my favorite Negro spirituals, Deep River. My home is over Jordan. Deep River. I want to cross over into campground. Deep River. My home is over Jordan. Deep River. I want to cross over into campground. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that promised land where all is peace. Peace with God. Peace with those around us as we progress to the promised land. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do today. How about you? May God bless us.